In actuality, brothers and sisters, some of these questions are embarrassing to ask the Sheikh because we have one or two types of questions. The one type is the question that has been posed to the Shuyukh for the last 5 years. We get the same questions for the duration of 5 years, the same question. The other type of question is that type of question that, I don't know. When we asked the Sheikh, we said to him, listen, they're the same questions, and also some of them are very strange. He said, he'll answer the questions. But we just want to, I don't know, maybe we need to get a class in the fiqh of the question. Because we know that half of the answer, the good answer, is the good question. So we're going to ask questions that have been presented to us. We don't want people to think that we don't want you asking questions, because I know there are some new Muslims and there are people who just don't know. And we know that the companions used to come from far away to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about wudu, about issues, and they would come all the way from the badia, from the desert. So this is the job of the Sheikh, but let us inshallah try to not waste a lot of time by making a lot of questions, and some of them are really not beneficial. So the first question is, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I came to perfect the good character. Can the Sheikh give a brief background to why it was revealed? We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I came to perfect the good character. Can the Sheikh give a brief background to why it was revealed? يسألك السائل يا شيخ أنه يعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إني بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق ما سبب نزول هذا الحديث أو وارد وروده
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه مما ينبغي أن يعلم أن أسباب ورود الحديث معينة على فهمه كما تعين على فهم القرآن أسباب نزوله فالحديث له أسباب ورود والقرآن له أسباب نزول ولكن ها هنا فوائد متعلقة بأسباب النزول وأسباب الورود معا وهي أولا أن كثيرا من الآيات أو الأحاديث قد تكون ذات أسباب ثانيا كثير منها قد لا يكون له أسباب ثالثا بعض منها قد يرد متعدد الأسباب بمعنى أن يكرر الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام هذا الحديث في غير ما مناسبة أو أن ينزل الله عز وجل هذه الآية في مناسبتين وهكذا فلا يلزم من كل حديث يردنا أو نقرأه أو نسمعه أن له سبب ورود وكذلك الحال سواء بسواء في الآيات فليست كل آية نسمعها أو نقرأها كان لها سبب ورود فإن كثيرا من الآيات كما أن كثيرا من الأحاديث لم تكن بذات سبب وهذا الحديث الذي يسأل عنه الأخ السائل هو من هذا الباب فهو من الأحاديث التي ابتدأ بها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام البيان والتعليم إرشادا للناس وإرشادا لأصحابه رضوان الله تعالى عليهم فضل أو إلى فضل هذا الدين وإلى ما يدل عليه ويرشد إليه وليس ثمة سبب ورد من أجله فيما أعلم والله تعالى أعلم
The Sheikh went on to say that what we need to understand, and it's befitting that we understand this very important point, that is that there are some reasons why the hadith have come to us. And when we know the reason why the hadith has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that helps us to understand that hadith. If we know the circumstances behind why this hadith has been mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing those circumstances will also enable us to understand the hadith. And similar to it is the Quran. When we know the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals certain ayat of the Quran, we also understand. It helps us understand the exact meaning of the meanings of those ayat. The Shaykh went on to say that there are many, many ahadith in which the reason why the Prophet ﷺ spoke about them are well known to us. And similarly, there are many ayat of the Quran that were revealed, and we know the reason why they were revealed. But then there's something else, and this is very important because there are some benefits. There are three benefits that the Shaykh mentioned. And the first benefit is that there are many ahadith, and there are many ayat that have reasons that they were revealed, or reasons that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. There are many ayat and many ahadith that there are reasons why they were revealed, or reasons why the Messenger of Allah mentioned them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know about that. We know about the reasons, and we know about the incidents, and we know about the background. The second benefit is that there are many ahadith, and there are many ayat that were revealed, or that were mentioned, and we do not know about the circumstances behind why they were revealed, or why it is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And then the third thing is that there are many ahadith and there are many ayat that have more than one reason that they were revealed. Meaning what? That there will be an incident that will take place and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say the same thing in those two different occasions. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal the same ayat on different occasions for different circumstances. He went on to say that after knowing this and after understanding this, we need to understand that not every single ayat, and not every single hadith has a reason that we know about. So the Shaykh went to say this is the same for the ayat of the Quran, also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith that we're dealing with right now, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been sent in order to perfect the good character, he said this is from that type of hadith. The hadith where the reason why it was mentioned is not known, other than that we can say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this hadith to his companions, and also subsequently to the followers of those companions, meaning us, that he mentioned this hadith in order to teach them and in order to give them direction and guidance, to show them the place of good character in the religion. So the Shaykh went on to say, it shows us the fadl of the religion of Islam and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Muslim to be upon in terms of the good character. But there is no reason why there is no specific reason behind the mentioning of this hadith according to what the Shaykh knows, and Allah knows best. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes say that He created the earth in 2 days and sometimes in 6 days? ما هو السبب يقول الله تعالى أنه خلق السماوات والأرض الأرض في يومين وهناك آية أخرى بين أنه خلقها في 6 أيام.
الأيام الستة هي جميع الخلائق، ومن ضمن هذه الخلائق الأرض قد خلقها في يومين. والحديث النبوي جاء لتفصيل ذلك وبيانه، خلق الله التربة يوم السبت والجبال يوم الأحد وهكذا إلى آخر الحديث، فعد 6 أيام ثم ذكر يوما فيه خلق آدم، فليس هذا معارضا لذاك فضلا عن أن يكون معارضا للثالث، وإنما كله من مشكاة واحدة، والله تعالى أعلم.
الشيخ بن عن تسيدة الله سبحانه وتعالى created the earth in 6 days. And in those 6 days in which the earth was created, Allah created all of the creation in 6 days. There's the ayah that they mentioned that Allah created all of the creation in 6 days. And within those 6 days, the earth was created in 2 days. So there is no contradiction. Allah created everything in 6 days, and within that 6 days, He created the earth in 2 days. And what illustrates that and clarifies it for us is the prophetic tradition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to explain the details of how things were created and on which days and in which days they were created. He said that Allah created the dirt on Saturday, and then He created the mountains on Sunday, And then he proceeded to say what he created on which day. And then he finally said, and we created Adam on Friday. So there is no contradiction whatsoever in the hadith. And this is the way that we harmonize them, or that we make the tawfiq between the two hadith.
الأخ السائل يسأل فيقول أحيانا يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه كذبوا بآياتنا فأخذهم الله بذنوبهم، ونحن نعلم بأن الله عز وجل هو المتكلم في القرآن، فلماذا يقول فأخذهم الله؟
The brother who asked the question, the person who asked the question, he said that sometimes Allah mentions in the Quran, and he says in the ayat of the Quran that they rejected or disbelieved in the signs of Allah, and so Allah destroyed them by their deeds. Allah destroyed them by their deeds. So he wants to know, why is it here Allah is the one who is revealing the Quran and he's the one who's talking? Why does Allah say فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ, so Allah held them to account, Allah destroyed them? Why is this type of language being used?
الجواب على ذلك أيها الإخوة فيه صلة بما نكرر ذكره في كل لقاء بيننا عبر الأعوام الماضية وهذه الأيام وفيما نستقبل إن أحيانا الله وثبتنا وإياكم على الحق والهدى، وهو أن لغة العرب هي مفتاح الشريعة، ولغة العرب هي باب الإسلام. فبقدر علمك أيها الأخ في الله للغة العرب بقدر ما تفهم دينك، وبقدر ما فقهك للغة العرب وأساليبها بقدر ما تتدبر القرآن وتتذوق معانيه. فمن باب البلاغة في لغة العرب باب، أو من أبواب البلاغة في لغة العرب باب يسمى الالتفات، يسمى الالتفات بمعنى أن يكون الخطاب مبتدئا بضمير المتكلم، فإذا به ينتقل إلى ضمير الغائب. يكون الخطاب مبتدئا بضمير المفرد أو باسم المفرد، فإذا به ينتقل إلى الجمع. يكون الخطاب مبتدئا بالمعنى القريب، فإذا به ينتقل إلى معنى البعيد. لفتة لغوية بلاغية رائعة تنقل المعنى، كل آية على حسبها وكل آية على نسقها ووزنها. فهذا من عيون البلاغة العربية ومن أصول لغة العرب التي تعطي الجملة القرآنية زخما وقيمة وقدرا، بحيث يكون التدبر والتأمل بأتم صوره لكتاب الله تبارك وتعالى.
I think that question was presented, I don't know, maybe it was presented by an Arab or someone who's studying Arabic language. I just want to say that for those types of questions, it would be more appropriate if you can get one-on-one with the Sheikh, because even in translating what he just went through, it's going to be difficult and it's going to be over the heads of most of the people. But anyway, suffice it to say that the Sheikh said that there's something, this question that was presented right here is a question that has a connection, or it is connected to what we have been saying over and over and over again every time that we come to this place to meet you people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to give us life so that we can continue to meet one another. He said that, I have mentioned this before when I came here, and that is that the language of Arabic is the key to al-Islam. It is this key to understanding the Sharia of al-Islam. And not only is it the key, but it is also the bab or the door of the religion of al-Islam. And according to your knowledge of Arabic language, according to how much you know or how much you don't know, it will determine directly how well you understand the religion. If you're a person who understands the language, it is appropriate that your understanding of the religion also is going to be proportional to your understanding of the language. He said, according to how well you understand the fiqh of the language of Arabic, because the language has its own fiqh. He said, according to how you understand the fiqh, and according to how you don't understand, it will also determine how well you understand the Quran, and whether or not you will be of the people who will be blessed with having the ability to taste the sweetness of the Quran in its secret, because the Quran is impregnated with too many treasures and too many examples of these statements. So now in this issue of balagha, and balagha is one of the sciences of the Arabic language, I guess we can give a loose translation to balagha as eloquence, the ability to speak and to make your statements eloquent. You can say one thing and you just get the message across, and then you can say it another way and you beautify that statement. So this is what balagha is. In the balagha, the science of balagha, the science of eloquence, there is a science or a chapter in this science that is called al-iltifat, which means what? It is when we find, like what's taking place in this ayat here, where the speaker is speaking and the damir or the pronoun that's being talked about, he did this and she did that and they went over there, that pronoun that is being used is being talked about, suddenly that pronoun turns into the pronoun of the person who was absent. He, they, we. Suddenly it turns into the one who was present. And it was they over there, and suddenly it becomes I. And this is what's happening. In the chapter of Balagha, in this chapter of Al-Ibtifat, there is another thing where the person is talking in the singular form. And he's saying over there that I did this and I did that and I did that. And then suddenly he's saying in the next verse, and we did this. But he's still meaning the singular form. And also similar to it is, it's talking about an issue that is far, far away, and it's describing something that is far, far away. And suddenly it turns without any indication, without any prior giving you any reason why it's turning. Suddenly that meaning that was being talked about that's far away is being talked about and it's close to the person. So the Sheikh said that every ayat in the Quran, you will find that it has this connection to it in some form or another, depending upon the wazn of the ayat or the wazn of the word. And the wazn is the scale in which the Arabic word or the ayat is, and we don't have that in English at all. So this issue of an iltifat, this is what he's talking about. This is from the uyun of the balagha. This is from the wells that the people who have this eloquence in the Arabic language, this is from the wells that they pick from, and it is from the asul of the Arabic language, or the fundamentals of the Arabic language. So that's what's taking place here in this ayah.
JazakAllah khairan. We'll break there for 30 minutes before the next lecture.